This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to New Beginnings, and I am Freddie Bell. Of course, you know that. And with me is our co-host on the program. You know that, too. That's Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. You can find him online, rippleconnects.com, or by phone, 763-438-1621. Good morning, Joe McKenzie, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable, and I'm excited because we're talking about job interviews this weekend. And there is a technique that you've brought forward on New Beginnings many times before, but I think even though we've talked about it before, we still get a lot of questions about the STAR method for answering behavioral questions in a career interview. And so as we talk about that, Joe, let's review what the STAR method actually is.
Well, as you mentioned, it's a technique to answer the behavioral or situational questions that are commonly used today in interviews. You know, tell me about a time that you had to meet a deadline. What process did you follow? Tell me a time that you worked with a difficult coworker. How did you handle that? Those are the types of questions that interviewers are asking. They want to assess your ability to work in those environments.
Interesting.
The easiest, most widely known method is the STAR method. I've had that on my Ripple Connects website for close to 7 years because I feel this is, everybody should know this. I don't care if you're 16 years old or 66 years old. I do think this is the method that allows you to give clear, concise answers without running on to cite some of your most significant accomplishments, but in a very tight package that you answer their question. And really the STAR is, you know, short for the situation, the task, the action, and the result. So when you practice this, and I work with my clients to practice these situational types of questions, describe the situation, tell me where you were working, what was your, you know, and then you move on to your role in the task. If you give that context to that answer and you provide the actions that you took or as a part of a team and with the results that came about that, you're in better position to give a clear, concise answer than going all over the board and running on and making a 10-minute answer. And the interviewers are left going, well, that person really didn't answer our question. So the STAR method, anybody can Google it today. It's on the Ripple Connects website, a link to it. And we all have accomplishments, right, Freddie?
We do.
We take those accomplishments, where we're at, what was our role, the actions that we took to drive those results, and we just build a toolbox of STAR questions, STAR answers to these questions that are going to be used. They're so common that they may say, tell me about yourself, but they're going to quickly say, you know, Freddie Bell, tell me a time that you had to meet a deadline and you had to have your whole team deliver on this. Tell me a time where you had to do this, because we live in a time-sensitive deadline world.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to be able to reference that toolbox of STAR answers, because what they're going to do when they get your answer, they're going to measure that against the other applicant to make sure they're getting closer to who the right person is. And I think it's just an easy way to overcome that nervousness, too, of any interview. And we don't interview that much in our lives, Freddie. Nervousness does rear its ugly head. And the STAR method is just a simple way to get in there and have some early success. Staying on point, clear, concise answers is one way to stand out.
Standing out is a really big deal, and I was trying to ask you about the STAR method. So they say, tell me a time when you overcame a difficulty as an example. Does that still work? So you talk about the situation, the task, the actions, and the results. Does that apply as well?
Yes. Any scenario I could throw at you, tell me a time that you failed at something. Tell me a time you succeeded at something. Tell me a time that you broke something. Tell me a time that your team didn't achieve something. Tell me a time that your budget got cut. What did you do to still drive the same results as the year before with the bigger budget? Yeah. I could throw any question at you, and that STAR method is simply, you know, discussing the situation that you're in, your task, your actions or your team's actions, and the results. What happened? Again, it's plug and play. Okay, That STAR method is plug and play, and it's designed to keep you under about that 3 to 5 minute answer. Someone that rolls on for 15 minutes with an answer doesn't have clear enough, concise thinking for an interviewer. That's rolling, unless it's a multi-part question.
So how do you anticipate these kinds of questions and the answers that you'll put forward in that opportunity?
Well, you can do your research knowing what you're walking into with that position. And you can do that, you're even just talking to your own network about what are some of the challenges. What do they need to, what does this job need to have as far as the real job needs? We've talked about Lou Adler's the Essential Guide for Hiring and Getting Hired. He talks about the real job needs out there. You could build your toolbox of answers based upon that intel. If you knew that you had to deliver X or X plus 2 or cut X or build, you will find those answers that are most relevant to what you've done. If you don't have them, they're going to figure it out anyways. And you probably shouldn't be, you know, even be interviewing for that position. But if you do, you want to make sure you're being assessed right by curating your most relevant accomplishments to what they need to accomplish or what challenges they have. Do your intel. Don't wing an interview. Please do not wing an interview. Do not go it alone. Talk to your network. Talk to people that are in that industry, one of your advocates, your professional network, but get that information first so you can address it. You can anticipate. If you don't anticipate those, like you said, you're going to get caught flat-footed and you're not going to be the most compelling person to move on in the hiring process.
In the past, Joe, you've talked about being referred in to in the hiring process by one of our bench of advocates. So how do you do that? You've identified what you want to do. You know in your heart of hearts what it is that you want to do with the rest of your career. Maybe you're just out of college and you're going into a career. Maybe you're going into your encore career if you're beyond 50 years old, let's say. So how do you use your bench of advocates to get into the opportunity for which you're looking?
Well, the first step is that your advocates know what you're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. If they don't know or they don't completely understand where you've been, they're not going to be able to advocate for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That communication, what are you asking to do? What would you like? That's a first step, and that's self-marketing. And I'll give everybody that hears my voice today permission to self-market yourself. Talk about yourself, especially if you're looking to change your career or get out of an industry or out of a new opportunity, a new beginnings. That hidden job market, which we've talked about for over 6 years, which is sometimes the jobs that don't get advertised out there, your advocate is going to could hear about it, but they won't hear about it or they won't look for it if you don't let them know what you're looking for. That's self-marketing. And so, yes, your professional network, your advocates, the people that have seen you in action, that can speak directly to your accomplishments and your leadership and your expertise. Freddie, that's how you get referred in to an opportunity. There's no guarantee you get that job, but it's better to have someone refer you in if all possible, and that is through the people that you know. And that's what I try to coach my candidates to become contenders by being referred in somewhere.
So there are two aspects of our conversation this weekend. One, making sure that you get referred into the opportunity for which you're seeking. And then number two, once you get referred in, you want to have your answers ready using the STAR method to answer the interviewer's questions.
Exactly. Just because you're referred in by someone that you know, you still have to do the heavy lifting. You still have to make a compelling case that you're the most qualified and ready to knock out the accomplishments that they need, the employer needs to accomplish, or the challenges that they have to meet. You still have to do the heavy lifting. and you still have to give them a compelling reason to move you along. And that is through your own research, understanding what they need to do, and curate your most relevant accomplishments to use that STAR method of addressing it. That's work. That takes work. That takes practice. And that's what my team, and we get people ready. And Freddie, there's also one aspect here of interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you ask the right questions to make sure that you're stepping into a good opportunity. If you don't see professional growth, or you don't see this as something you're going to be happy at or satisfied, I would run away, unless your situation dictates that you have to have a job. There's a lot of opportunity, but don't step into a job that you're going to be, your professional growth is going to be stifled, or you're not going to be challenged. But unless you ask those questions on the front end in the job interview, you may step into a bad work situation that you're not challenged. There's no growth. There's something that is not coming together. That discernment on the front end of if this is a good opportunity is critical as well. So knowing when to walk away and knowing when to lean in and say, okay, I want to learn more about this opportunity here by addressing the real job needs and the challenges of this position. Let's have a conversation about that. And that will come across as very contender-like, because people say, this person's done their research, they've addressed some of the challenges, but they want to know more because they want to make sure this is a good fit.
Wonderful. Joe, we got to leave it right there. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to rippleconnects.com.
We're talking to Kathy. She's the project lead for the COVID Care Project with North Point Health and Wellness Center.
We are a call-in line so that you have a live person to talk to help you figure out what to do if you're feeling stressed out or worried, or how do you talk to your kids, and also to help hook you up to resources that might be available.
You can go to northpointhealth.org for more information, or you can call 612-767-9171.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Everyone, welcome back to New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. And not long ago, I had an opportunity to take a tour of a COVID testing site in St. Paul at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium. It's one of the largest testing sites in the state of Minnesota, and I had a chance to go through firsthand to give you a look at what happens when you go through the center, the people you come into contact with, and the results, and how long it takes to get the test results back. And we learned quite a bit talking with site managers. Please know that each of us were socially distanced and wearing our mask.
Everyone, we're talking with Andrew Verdin, who's been redeployed from the Department of Administration to help with COVID testing. And this is an open house to give people an idea of what the COVID testing is like. We're at the Roy Wilkins Center. What was the idea behind today's event?
Well, thank you for asking and thank you for being here. The idea behind today's event is we want to demystify the process of what it takes to get tested, right? I think there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there about getting tested. One, you don't have to have insurance. Two, you don't have to have an ID. You don't need a smartphone. You don't even need an email address in order to be able to do this. We want to make sure that all Minnesotans understand that testing is available for all persons, available for free, and it's very easy and very convenient to do, and that's our best chance of being able to contain the virus.
So tell us about your new role from the Department of Administration. What are you doing with the Department of Health to help facilitate this?
So I'm what's called a state incident commander, and my job is serving as a liaison at a testing site in Bloomington, which is one of the busiest state-run testing sites in the state of Minnesota. My job is interacting with the public, helping make sure that the daily operations at the site goes well. But perhaps more important, engaging with the local community in Bloomington, making sure that the people who are getting tested are representative of the community where the testing is being held. Right? It's not enough that, 600 tests were performed. I'm much more interested in who was tested and whether that's representative of the community. And if, for example, East African community is underrepresented, or African American community is underrepresented, or Spanish-speaking population is underrepresented, our job is to reach out to those communities to make sure that people feel are aware that the testing sites exist, feel comfortable and safe doing so, and take advantage of getting tested.
We saw the early images of people in long lines with the long Q-tip swabs up their nose, but this is nothing like that.
That's correct. And that's part of the reason why we want to do this tour, because we want people to understand that the testing has come quite a long ways. All of the testing sites in Minnesota right now are all saliva tests, meaning that someone is not going to stick a long stick up your nose in order to get a COVID test. It's a very simple process. Everyone who got on the tour today who got tested will receive an email this evening from Vault indicating that their test has been received, and then within 24 to 48 hours they will receive the actual results of the test itself.
So that's just not for the people on the tour today, but that happens with everyone who comes in and gets tested at these sites.
That is correct. So the experience of the people on today's tour should be the same as anyone who hears this broadcast would be if you were to go to your local testing site as well.
Everyone, we're talking with Andrew Verdin from the Minnesota Department of Health, and we're also live at a testing site where we are on a big tour. This is a huge site. How does it compare to the others across the state?
This is one of the largest testing facilities that we have in the state. There are some that have slightly more volume on a day-to-day basis, but this site averages over 1,000 tests a day, about 50% of which are appointments, about 50% are walk-ins. There's also large testing facilities in Brooklyn Park and in Minneapolis. All that information is available on the Minnesota Department of Health website, where you can look up, find out where is the closest testing site to me.
There are a lot of people who are listening this morning who are baby boomers. They're concerned about leaving their homes to go get tested. They just rather sit by themselves or just stay away from people. What do you say to those people?
Well, what I would say to them is that is certainly a way to be safe, that you also have the opportunity to get tested in person like we have here today. But the state of Minnesota also provides free at-home testing as well. Again, that information is available on the Minnesota Department of Health website. And you can request a sample kit be sent to your home. You provide the sample and you mail it back. It's a little like Ancestry.com when you're doing a DNA test. So if you prefer to do that, if you are concerned about going leaving your home to actually come to a testing facility to do that, you do have other options available to you as well.
And there's a special situation going on at the Roy Wilkins Center where you're not only doing the testing, but there's a study that's underway as well.
That is correct. So the state of Minnesota is looking for other ways for us to do testing in ways which are less intrusive than even the very simple saliva test that we currently have. So today we saw a test where they were using both nasal swabs and a saline wash where someone washes their mouth out and then provides a sample. The test will compare the standard results from our standard saliva test versus these new techniques to find out whether the new techniques are, in fact, as good as the ones that we currently have in place.
it's clear what the overall goal is, but we'd like for you to tell us the overall goal with the testing, the new studies and so forth, is to accomplish what?
We want to make sure that testing is easy and accessible to all Minnesotans. The only way that we can get a handle on the virus is we know who is sick, that those people are able to isolate themselves so that Minnesota can return to business.
All right, Andrew, do you have a final thought for our Twin Cities audience who are really concerned about ending this pandemic?
Keep doing what you're doing. Minnesota's doing a great job of physically distancing, washing hands, wearing masks, getting tested as part of this. And, of course, now the vaccines are going to start to roll out. That'll be an important part. I know all of us want to return to hugging our families and returning to church and being able to eat out in restaurants and go to the Minnesota State Fair or a Twins game or whatever. I want my summer back. I want my summer back. I lost my summer last summer. I know many of you feel the same way. I want my summer back. And the way for us to do that is for all of us to participate.
Andrew, can't thank you enough for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, FreddieBell, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit FreddieBell.com/New Beginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a point at listening each week at this time. And right now, let's turn our attention to your health. Let's talk about your health. I know that COVID-19 is on the lips of a lot of people across our country when you have thousands of people passing away each day and more cases being reported, not only here in Minnesota, but across the country. And with us to talk about the risk of COVID-19 and managing your health is the former president of the Black Nurses Association and also an individual who is a surgical nurse practitioner, Sherilyn LaChapelle. She is a registered nurse and the president and CEO of Nursing is the Answer, LLC. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi. And I'm also completing my psychiatric and mental health nurse practitioner degree in February. And as you know, mental health is a huge thing in the Black community as well as in the majority community. And it's also part of our health, as well as our cardiovascular, diabetes, and other comorbidities that really seem to rack us up and kind of take us out. It's important that we pay attention, particularly now, even more so about our health and keeping things in check, to know what our health risks are, because with COVID, it makes it even less likely for you to do well if you were to contract COVID. All of high blood pressure, heart disease, all of those things are some of those pre-existing conditions that they talk about on TV that people who have it may die from it.
That really gets an individual's attention when you think about the morbidity of COVID-19. And especially with African Americans and people of color in general being more susceptible to it, especially with the underlying health conditions. And you've brought an individual in known very, very well to the Twin Cities talking about underlying health conditions as well.
Yolanda is my partner. We are working together on a COVID grant where we educate people about COVID, how to stay safe, the importance of getting the vaccine, and also not believing all of the misinformation that's out there that's warning you against taking the vaccine. And before Yolanda gets on, I want to say one thing about that vaccine. I've had it. I'm waiting to get my second dose. And when people say, I'm not taking that because that stuff will kill you, they're experimenting on us, all I have to say is that talk is crazy. Vaccines have saved lives. I'm going to take you back to the 40s and the 50s when polio was killing hundreds of thousands of people. Now, if you mention polio, most people who are younger than 40 or 50 don't even know what it is. Yet polio still exists in the environment, but we've almost eradicated it because we've been vaccinated against it. And the same thing can happen with COVID if we get the vaccination. This anti-vaxxer nonsense that started 15, 20 years ago in England by that doctor who faked experiments that were not reproducible and were found to be false, lost his license as an MD. But as with any lie, it travels twice as far and twice as fast than the truth will ever catch up to it. So, Yolanda, would you like to say hello and say a few things?
Certainly. Thank you, Sherilyn and Freddie. Yes, I am Yolanda Adams-Lee, and I work very closely and share committee intentions with right along with Sherilyn when we work with various departments trying to continue to be in the trenches around health disparities in our communities. And I have had concerns for our community, both personally and professionally. As Sherilyn noted, comorbidity, specifically around diabetes, is great concern for me personally and professionally. My entire family in regards to diabetes just about wiped my family out. My grandmother, all of 11 of her siblings, my mother as well as a host of other friends and family. And as Sherilyn noted, comorbidity and chronic health concerns such as diabetes, heart concerns, heart conditions, as well as hypertension, have wrecked the lives of African Americans for centuries. We can have many of these concerns and these chronic conditions, both diagnosed and underdiagnosed and undiagnosed, and as we know, uninsured, underinsured. All these concerns, as well as food inequities, housing inequities, and finally, mental health, last and not, but not least. And so all of these concerns, which are stressors in our communities that have been longstanding, impact the quality of life as well as the length of life. So when you add other layers such as COVID-19 with pre-existing issues like diabetes, when our systems have already been compromised, whether we know them or we don't know them, whether we are not, whether we are participating in an engaged way in regards to our health around diabetes. So if we're eating foods that we have eaten our whole lives, our ancestors have eaten, they may not be the best quality of foods, but they feed all of our families. So we have a more sedentary life now. We are not in the fields picking cotton or doing manual labor as much as we have, our ancestors have. So if we're still eating hog maws and chitlins and fried potatoes and lots of fried foods, those are contributors that impact a person that has a history of diabetes. When you have a compromised system and something like COVID enters into your body, you might be more likely for it to overtake you. And so one of the things that many of these things are what we're trying to do in our community to say, please, please, please don't underestimate this as being a something that we can just, you know, take one of our historical remedies to solve. It is quite deadly to those of us with those pre-existing illnesses.
Everyone, we're talking with Sherilyn LaChapelle and also Yolanda Adams Lee. We're talking about your health. I know with the myriad of different underlying conditions like cancer, asthma, diabetes, obesity,
yes,
heart conditions, as you mentioned, it's really difficult to tell a person in a conversation like this what they need to do to keep healthy. But is there a blanket statement that you can share with our audience this morning to help us to help ourselves?
Yes. This is no time to ignore your health. We must know our health risks. That means you've seen your doctor for your annual physical. You talk to your provider. This is no time to be silent when you go to see your doctor. You need to have a running list at home of every ailment and thing that has been bothering you so that when you do get to the doctor, you don't forget to tell them the important stuff. Even I, who am in healthcare, when I've gone to the doctor, we've talked about whatever, and then just as they walk out the door, say, oh, I forgot to tell you X, Y, Z. So please make a list. And don't be ashamed to talk to the doctor about all your issues. You have paid for that time. You know, so often we say, oh, they're so busy. Yeah, they're supposed to be so busy taking care of you during that time frame. So do not feel guilty.
All right. I got to jump in right there. We're talking with Yolanda Adams Lee and also Sherilyn LaChapelle, both in the healthcare field, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a point at listening each week at this time. And joining us right now, Jay Hapala, who is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement with AARP Twin Cities. Jay, good morning, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Freddie. It's good to be here. Thanks.
I'm glad you're with us. And it's time to talk about a little empowerment. I know we talk often about scams and so forth, but and we want to talk about that today. But from an empowerment standpoint, how do we begin?
That is so true that, you know, we can work together, we can support each other, and together we can stay a step ahead of the con artists who are working every day to try to take the money that we so work so hard to earn and save for ourselves and our families. And we can support each other and really be empowered to stay a step ahead of the con artists.
If you were to give us one just surefire way to stay ahead of the con artist before we get into the meat of our program, what would that be? What should we do?
Yeah, when I talk with the public and just when I'm speaking with anyone about scams and identity theft, everyone wants to focus on the specific scams and learn about the latest tricks. And that's okay. It's good to be educated. It's good to be informed. And the facts are that when people know about certain scams, they are much more likely to stay protected and not end up being the next victim. But that only goes so far because, of course, the con artists are hard at work inventing new scams and coming up with new ways to trick us. And no one can understand everything there is to know about scams. So to your question about what's one thing we can do, it really is having conversations with each other and having those connections with the people that you trust and the people in your families and your friends and supporting each other, talking about money, talking about financial decisions so that you don't have to go it alone. We can work together, stay a step ahead of the bad guys.
That is really an empowerment step in itself. And I know during the holidays, you're talking about how the scammers have shifted again, Jay, to really take advantage of our hearts and so forth during this time of the season. What are you seeing right now that we should at least have our antennas up to be aware?
Yeah, if you're like me, then you've noticed new text messages and different kind of emails coming into your inbox, probably talking about holiday shopping, probably with the, you know, giving donations to charities this time of year. And the scammers are right there with them. So good scammers know where the action is. So some of the scams we're monitoring, you know, like I said, for me personally and also through our national call center where we take scam reports, we're looking at a lot of package delivery scams, which I can explain, a lot of online deals that are just too good to be true, a lot of scams that involve gift cards, and then the charities, like I've said, so fake charities that are sending out solicitations for money and personal information.
You got my interest with that package delivery scam. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so a lot of people right now, they're ordering online more than ever and expecting deliveries to come to their doorstop or their doorstep every day. And so what the scammers do is they send out fake emails that sometimes tell you that there's been a problem with your delivery and you have to click here and enter some information in order to make sure that package is delivered. Or it could be even a confirmation email. So you, in order to have your delivery process, you have to provide some more information. But they're just imposters who know that a lot of us are expecting those deliveries. And so we're likely to click on those messages and share too much information.
Too many scams for us to cover in one session. We're going to have to invite you back. But if there is one thing that you talked about, the drained gift card, can you briefly talk about that, Jay?
Yeah, scammers focus on gift cards because they're risky. There's no consumer protection. It's not the same thing as a personal check or a credit card payment. There's no protection. So one, be careful if you're at the store. Take a good look at that gift card. If you're going to purchase it, make sure it hasn't been tampered with. And then if anyone's asking you to make a payment with the gift card, be very suspicious about making that payment or giving the number off of the gift card to anyone who's asking for it. Gift cards are for gifts and presents, and they're not for payments.
Wow. Let's talk about quickly about charity scams, and if we've got some time here, magazine scams, Jay?
Sure. If we have the time, I'm happy to go over it with you.
Okay.
You know, I've said it before that imposters are out there sending out requests for donations to fake charities. Anyone considering making a charitable donation at any time of the year should be verifying the status or the validity of that charity before they hand out any money or write a check or make a credit card payment. It's dangerous or risky, at least, to respond to solicitations for charitable donations. Instead, people should be researching and looking up the different places they want to make their donations.
Well, as we empower ourselves, and if we need more information, how can, is there a helpline or a resource for us, Jay?
Yeah, definitely. So we run our Fraud Watch Network program nationwide, and there's a phone number folks can call to verify what might be a scam. And certainly for those who have been victimized, they can get help. And that number is 877-908-3360.
All right. That's Jay Hampala, the Associate State Director of Community Engagement for AARP Twin Cities. And this is Freddie Bell. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is a lesson already in progress.
There was simple guidance given to us in the scriptures. And many times our thoughts are too loud. Many times our thoughts are too confused or too anxious, or even we're just too stubborn to hear it. In effect, Spirit is telling us in all situations to let there be love. It's just as simple as that. I think the issue in many cases is that this premise, this idea of love is so basic that we miss it. BC, before COVID, I noticed that Don Rolofson, whom you saw light the Advent candle this morning, one of our esteemed Unity teachers along with Sharon Rolofson, Don would walk from room to room here at Unity South, from space to space. And I noticed that he would enter a space, he would pause, and then he'd go to the next space. And although Don would never say it in these words, from what I could gather, Don Rolofson was allowing the love of God to flow through him, thereby filling that space with the love and the energy and the Spirit of God. That's what I believe Don was doing for us. Allowing or getting quiet and allowing love to come in is how we experience the love of God. Let me tell you something. Divine love through us changes things. Do you believe that? Divine love changes things. Over time, and I'm talking about Unity South, over time, difficult situations that we were experiencing here miraculously started to work out. Didn't they, John? I noticed a definite shift, most notably the arrival of a marvelous pastor. I call him pastor, you call him senior minister, in James Stacy. That's what love does. In my work environment, just like Don Rolofson, I regularly walk into the now empty radio studios where I work, into the offices, pausing and allowing the love to come through. My goal is allowing the infinite love of God to come in. I am, and we can be, the love. We can be the channels of love and blessings through which all things are expressed. And as the song says, be ever blessed by God's love. I heard a man by the name of James Stacy says that you cannot love, you cannot express a blessing for someone without being blessed and loved yourself. I don't know about you, that makes me feel good. I have chills now just thinking about that. Let me tell you something about God's love. I'm seeing Spirit transform my oldest daughter. I'm seeing God's love imbuing confidence in my granddaughter. And I see God's love providing guidance to my youngest child in her life's pursuits. In the Bible, there's a story about a woman. Before I get to the Bible story, part of my presence here this morning is to complete a class that I took in studying the Old Testament. And I informed our instructors, Don and Sharon, that I may not be able to fulfill this last part because we're talking about love and Advent this morning. But I can tell you that in the Old Testament, just as Don walks through imbuing this place with love and the energy of God, Jesus had not yet shown up in the Old Testament. They had nothing but love to sustain them. And it did, leading to all the writings in the scriptures of the New Testament. And in that New Testament, there's a story about a woman who had years of problems with an issue of blood. And she believed that she could be healed just by touching the clothing that Jesus wore. In fact, when she touched him, it was so dramatic that he stopped in this middle of a crowd and said, "Somebody touched me. Who was it?" His disciples said, "Look, do you see all the people who are around you? And you're asking us to tell you who this one person was? That's what love is. It permeates everything." And my question this morning is, how deep is your love? How rich, how encompassing is your love? How willing are you to get quiet and still and allow the love of God to come through you? Leaving the doctor's office some 50 weeks or so ago, a year ago, the patient could not believe the news he had just heard. He read the diagnosis over and over again, but found it hard to believe and come to grips with the details of what had just been learned. This individual had been ill for 30 years, and now it had come down to this. The doctor said in so many words that your battle is over. You fought a good fight. The doctor finally told me that I'd been healed of a malady that I'd fought for 30 years and that I was free to live my life. Accurately, my fight had consumed more than half of my life, and the love of God through me, I am convinced, has allowed me to be with you this morning. Sometimes in the turmoil of our issues, it seems difficult to find real love. Would you agree? Yeah. It can seem difficult to find God, to feel sure of God's presence, to understand how God works, and to unify ourselves with that great loving power of God. I believe the key in getting through difficult situations, magnifying the great situations, is understanding and having that knowing that we lived in the charmed circle of God's love. In many ways, we are, in fact, the demonstration of God's strength, of God's wisdom, of God's harmony, and God's power. Somebody say yes.
Yes, yes.
As we conclude this morning, we know that today we're battling an unseen force. But I would suggest to you this morning that the unseen force of God's love is bigger, more powerful, more than the most ruthless person or any unrelenting virus imaginable. Our challenge this holiday season, and especially now in Advent, is to go with the wave of God's love for us.
You just heard a message coming from Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.